Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Shalom, good morning, and welcome to this morning's Wellington Jewish Community and Jewish Culture program, brought to you by Desiree Gazenzfe and David Zwartz, with the ongoing support of the Wellington Regional Jewish Council. Things happening here in Wellington. Well, Purim is coming up. That starts tomorrow.
Yes.
With celebrations. So, and if you want to join in the celebration from the congregations, they're both having special events, do contact the office to find out the details. And then, of course, the Jewish picnic is coming up, when the whole community gets together in Tanira Park. So that'll be later on, and you can again find the details from either office of the Webb Street or the Guzney Street congregations. So before our next article, which is about Purim, let's listen to a song. And this is La Yehudim Chayza Ora V'Simcha.
Lahidim, hoy suoiro, virusim hove susoi nikor. Lahidim, lahidim, hoy suoiro, virusim hove susoi nikor. Lahidim, lahidim, hoy suoiro, virusim hove susoi nikor. Kain, 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 tiye, kain, tiye, love me, oh, virusim hove susoi nikor. Oy kain 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 tiye, kain tiye love me, ayer vesim choves tsayni kara. Oy kain 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 tiye love me, ayer vesim choves tsayni kara. Oy kain 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 tiye love me, ayer vesim choves tsayni kara. Da 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 da, yo yo ya ram, tini da ina ira ram, tini da ina ina ira ram, tini da da da, yo ya ram, tini da ina ina ira ram, tini da ira ira. Kan ti yellow ni ay re sin khovs ze say mi kar ay 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 kan ti yellow ni ay re sin khovs ze say mi kar ay 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 kan ti yellow ni ay re sin khovs ze say mi kar.
And that was Lipa Meisel singing the special song for Purim, La Yehudim Chayza Ora V'Simcha.
And something about Purim. It's a jolly Jewish holiday. We were supposed to be very happy. We were supposed to be very happy the whole month of Adar. And Purim is celebrated every year on the 14th of the Hebrew month of Adar. Purim 2026 begins tomorrow night, March the 2nd, and continues until Tuesday, 3rd of March, extending through Wednesday in Jerusalem. It commemorates the divinely orchestrated salvation of the Jewish people in the ancient Persian Empire from Haman's plot to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, infants and women, in a single day. Literally lots in ancient Persian, Purim was thus named since Haman had thrown lots to determine when he would carry out his diabolical scheme, as recorded in the Megillah, the Book of Esther. Like a lottery, which is not rational or predictable, Purim expresses that which is above nature and human understanding.
In addition to the miracle of Jewish survival, despite the efforts of our enemies, Purim celebrates God's intimate involvement in every aspect of this world. even though there were no overt miracles recorded in the Megillah, indeed, God's name is not even mentioned once, the strings were being pulled to care for his nation. Additionally, Haman's edict catalyzed a spiritual revival among the Jews. In a sense, this was even more significant than the covenant at Sinai, an overwhelming spiritual experience that compelled the Jews to accept the Torah, since it occurred of their own volition, even as they were scattered among the Persian people and immersed in Persian culture. It was in the merit of this spiritual reawakening that God orchestrated their salvation.
Some of the observances that we do in Purim are the reading of the Megillah, Book of Esther, which recounts the story of Purim miracle. This is done once on the eve of Purim and then again on the following day. We also give money gifts to at least two poor people, sending gifts to two kinds of food to at least one person, a festive Purim feast, which often includes wine or other intoxicating beverages. I think it's the only holiday where you're supposed to get drunk.
You're supposed to.
Yes, because generally in Jewish holidays, you don't get drunk. There is a spirit of liveliness and fun on Purim that is unparalleled on the Jewish calendar. If there were ever a day to let loose and just be Jewish, this is it. It is also customary for children and adults, if they desire, to dress up in costumes. A traditional Purim food is homentashen, or Osnei Haman, the ears of Haman, which are three-cornered pastries bursting with poppy seeds or another sweet filling. On the day before Purim, or on the Thursday before when Purim is on a Sunday, it is customary to fast, commemorating Esther's fasting and praying to God that he save his people. Because it was Queen Esther who saved the Jewish people.
Indeed.
Yes. So happy Purim. Looking forward to that.
Are you going to be dressed up?
I always like to do something like I've been bunny, you know, just bunny ears or butterflies or something like that. Just to join with the grandkids. Yeah. What about you?
I think all my ordinary clothes are sort of dressing up.
Oh, nice. So we have an article now that comes from Spain about Jewish life in Spain. And this comes from JDA. And it's the title for it is Her Ancestors Were Expelled from Spain. Now she's bringing bagels to Madrid. Until recently, a Jew could wander all day in Madrid without finding a bagel. But now, in a sea of tomato toasts and potato omelets, oh my God, they're so good, the Spanish omelets, a trail of people hovers every weekend outside the Mazal, or Mazal, bagel restaurant. Behind it is Tamara Cohen, a Philadelphian who became Spanish through a law granting citizenship to Sephardic Jews whose ancestors were expelled during the 1492 Inquisition.
When Cohen moved to Madrid, she could not track down the bagel she craved from home. Since opening Mazal in 2020, she has seen the distinctly Jewish food grow more familiar to Madrileños. That's the people of Madrid,
yes.
Isn't it? With other new bagel shops following suit, but none, so far as she knows, that are also run by Jews. Cohen, who is 34, didn't have a business plan or a culinary background when she arrived in 2015. She was a recent college graduate, unsure about what to do next. She had never been to Europe and decided to teach English in Spain, thinking she would take the chance to travel and study the native language of her mum, a Cuban Sephardic Jew. Her dad is American-born Ashkenazi. Soon after Cohen arrived, her mum alerted her to Spain's new Sephardic ancestry law. Between 2015 and 2019, this law gave citizenship to descendants who could prove their medieval Sephardic origins. Some 72,000 people have obtained Spanish citizenship this way, most of them from Latin America. Cohen's mum quickly applied not to move to Spain herself, but to affirm a lineage treasured in her family for centuries. She had documents showing her family's travels from Spain, which they had to leave in 1492, to Turkey, to Cuba, along with death certificates of ancestors buried in Sephardic cemeteries. She also had tapes of her parents singing in Ladino, the nearly extinct language that Sephardic exiles carried with them to the Middle East, North Africa, Latin America, and other corners of the world.
After her mom received citizenship, Cohen followed. In the process, she discovered threads that tied her to what had seemed like a foreign land. Some 300,000 Jews lived in Spain before the Inquisition, constituting one of the largest and most cultivated Jewish communities in the world. After 1492, they were forced to convert to Catholicism, flee, or be killed. Between 40,000 and 100,000 went into exile. By the early 20th century, a small community of Jews had returned to Spain. About 6,000 lived there at the dawn of the Spanish Civil War in 1936. Many fell on the Republican side of the war, forcing them to flee when the nationalists led by General Francisco Franco prevailed. Franco rooted his regime in Catholicism, banning Jewish rites, shuttering synagogues, and sending expressions of Jewishness into hiding. A new era of Sephardic life began to take shape only in the 1960s. In 1967, Spain passed a religious freedom law that allowed non-Catholic communities to practice in public. Meanwhile, Middle East tensions surrounding the 1967 Arab-Israeli War drove a wave of Jews from Arab countries to Europe, according to Esther Bendahan, a writer and cultural director of the Centro Sefarad Israel in Madrid. Her family arrived in Morocco in the 1960s. The return is complex because it's the only European country where Jews do not have a long history since it was interrupted, said Bendahan.
Remnants of Sephardic history, like the Jews themselves, are still resurfacing. As recently as 2024, restoration work on the Santa Maria la Blanca church in Seville exposed a medieval synagogue ark behind the altarpiece. In 2023, archaeologists uncovered a 14th century synagogue beneath a nightclub in the Andalusian city of Utrera, one of only five such buildings in Spain. And in 2012, the construction of a sewer in Segovia revealed a Jewish cemetery from 500 years ago. Whenever we travel to a small town, there's a juderia. Is that juderia?
Juderia, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I always feel like we have to see it, said Cohen, using the word juderia for the historic Jewish quarters that once dotted Spain. We have to go and stand there, even if there's nothing to see. Go and stand there, and I feel a connection to it.
Sephardic memory traveled down Cohen's family line, as in many others, through food. Her mom sustains Sephardic recipes and traditions, like making rice on Passover. But even as Cohen identified traces of her family's Sephardic past, she missed American and Ashkenazi foods. She was hosting a Thanksgiving dinner with her roommates when she realized that she couldn't find a pumpkin pie. So she made one, and then she made more. She listed her pies, cakes, and cookies on a website for people to buy. Then she started making bagels. I basically used this website as a platform to make and sell foods that I love, but that I couldn't find here, said Cohen. And so I made bagels because I grew up in a bagels on the weekend family. Thus, Mazal was born, and with it appeared a new world of Jews in Madrid, a living, breathing, and eating one. Local visitors who knew little about Jewish food flocked to Mazal for its American menu, listing pastrami and buffalo chicken along with bagels. Just as quickly came the diners who knew the word mazal, or luck, in Hebrew.
Cohen discovered how many Jews had been waiting for mazal through her challah sales. She didn't know how many would be sold, only that she wanted to recreate the warmth of family on Shabbat. Roughly 15,000 Jews live in Madrid now, out of 45,000 in the whole country. And both Ashkenazi and Sephardic Jews eat challah, while bagels are not part of Sephardic tradition. They came from Eastern Europe. We have sold challah every single Friday for our entire existence, she said. When we first opened, we had something like 10 challahs a week. Now we make 90 to 150. We're sold out. She wants Mazal to remain a place where Jews like her feel comforted. There are pieces of her life in the bagels, the challah, and the American classics. On Thanksgiving, she sells Mom's Sweet Potato Casserole, her own mom's recipe, and a staple on the menu is Alan's Pancakes, named for her dad. Mazal, to me, feels like my little corner of Judaism here in Madrid, said Cohen. It's a way to create a home for people who are looking for that. It's not kosher, and we're open all year, but it's my type of Judaism. Bagels on Sunday morning, challahs on Shabbat.
My type of Judaism, too. And we have a song from Yasmin Levy to follow this article. And it's called Mujer, which means woman. And it's like a hymn to women, celebrating the strength, pride, and unbreakable spirit of women, encouraging them to be strong, speak up, live, flourish, grow, and trust their own voice and worth. So this is Yasmin Levy singing Mujer.
And she sings in Ladino.
She sings in Ladino, yes, yes.
Siempre mujer, siempre mujer, fuerte mujer, fuerte mujer. No callarás, si callarás, si perdonarás, si te olvidarás, si no lucharás. Yeah.
And you were listening to Jasmine Levy singing in Ladino the song Mujer. And you're listening to the Wellington Jewish Community and Jewish Culture Program brought to you on behalf of the Wellington Regional Jewish Council here on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, the real voices of Wellington.
Our next article is about a prize which has been won by a very prominent Jewish woman. We've got a theme of Jewish women today.
Yes, go Queen Esther, go Purim.
Queen Esther Cohen selling bagels in Madrid, and now Professor Deborah Lipstadt.
Yes.
Bar-Ilan University has awarded the Jonathan Sachs Institute Prize to distinguished historian Professor Deborah Lipstadt. That's a story from the JY News Desk. One of the world's leading authorities on Holocaust history and anti-Semitism, Professor Deborah Lipstadt, will receive the Jonathan Sachs Institute Prize for Outstanding Achievement as a Public Intellectual for 2026. The prize, which carries a monetary award of 100,000 shekels, recognizes Lipstadt's leadership in combating anti-Semitism and strengthening public awareness of its contemporary threats. The award will be presented at a ceremony in May, where Lipstadt will deliver a lecture titled Anti-Semitism, Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow.
Professor Lipstadt exemplifies the rare combination of intellectual rigor, moral courage, and public engagement that Rabbi Sachs so deeply admired, said Professor Jonathan Rinhold, Academic Director of the Jonathan Sachs Institute. Her work has shaped global discourse on anti-Semitism, truth, and democratic resilience at a moment when these issues are more urgent than ever. Lipstadt, a longtime professor at Emory University in Atlanta, has spent more than three decades at the forefront of the struggle against anti-Semitism. Her landmark works include Denying the Holocaust, The Growing Assault on Truth and Memory, and Anti-Semitism Here and Now, which have reached both academic and general audiences. Beyond scholarship, Lipstadt has played pivotal roles in public service, including serving as United States Special Envoy to monitor and combat anti-Semitism and on the United States Holocaust Memorial Council. She gained international recognition for her successful legal defense against Holocaust denier David Irving.
The prize committee cited the dramatic global rise in anti-Semitism since 7th of October 2023 as making Lipstadt's work particularly relevant. The committee unanimously determined that she is an exceptionally worthy and timely recipient for her extraordinary leadership as one of the most effective public intellectuals confronting anti-Semitism worldwide. Despite her work focusing on combating hatred, Lipstadt has cautioned against allowing anti-Semitism to define Jewish identity. If anti-Semitism becomes the reason through which your Jewish view of the world is refracted, if it becomes your prism, then it is very unhealthy, she has written. Jewish tradition never wanted that.
Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, whom I was privileged to know, was a driving force in shaping contemporary Jewish life, Professor Lipstadt said. He was unparalleled, beloved, and honored not just in the Jewish world, but the world at large. I am therefore more than honored. I am humbled by this, she added. The Jonathan Sachs Institute Prize was established by the Gewurz family of Montreal in memory of Samuel Gewurz. It honors individuals whose work advances the ideas, values, and moral vision of Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, former chief rabbi of the United Hebrew Congregations of the Commonwealth.
So that brings us to the end of today's program. Don't forget Purim when you let your hair down. And you can get the details of where and when from the office of the Beth El Congregation in Webb Street or Temple Sinai in Guzney Street, and also the Jewish picnic later on in the month. again, you get find out more about it by phoning up. So we go out on the... Oh, sorry, the program was presented by Desiree Gazenchve and David Swartz here on Wellington Community Access Radio Station 106.1 FM. We hope you found it interesting and enjoyable, and you'll tune in again in 4 weeks' time. So that's 11 a.m. on Sunday, the 29th of March.
So until then, we wish you Happy Purim, Chag Purim Sameach, and Shalom, peace be with you.
Shalom.
But there's more. We will leave you with a Purim song by the Maccabees, and it's called An Encanto Purim. We don't talk about Haman, and they used, they've taken a song from the movie Encanto and changed the lyrics to the story of Purim. Enjoy. Shalom.
Shalom. Da, da,
da. We don't talk da, about da, Haman. La, 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 la. We don't talk da, about Haman. But in the 12 of the king, recently promoted, he was casting lots for every day. Lands on a dar, aimed at Jews near and far.
Dun, dun, dun.
Is this the end for the tribe? Haman says he can see here. He disobeys us with no fear.
Just to get his mission running, we associate him with the sound of casting lots. Rage in his heart, Mordechai wouldn't bow down. Queens came at opening, manipulate the crowd. The king is the pawn, and Haman calls the shots. Haman calls the shots.
Standing at the gate, idol round his neck. If you don't bow down, you might just be next. Yeah, he haunts your dreams. His name makes you scream.
Tore all my shirts and robes from what he had said.
He wrote in every script and language how he wanted us dead. We faced defeat with the edicts being read. Can you drop the game? From what he was casting
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.